got a sprain or an itch, pain, rash, swelling, or twitch, call up and ask me, Dr. Lasky. I call up and ask me, Dr. Lasky.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining.
I do not want to make this radio show into a bully pulpit, unless you take the meaning of bully pulpit as it was when President Theodore Roosevelt coined it to mean a terrific platform from which to advocate an agenda. Roosevelt used the word bully in this phrase as an adjective, meaning superb or wonderful. Obviously not the same meaning we give it to bully nowadays. As do most persons in varying occupations, we as physicians and healthcare professionals receive quite a few magazines and journals that concentrate on many aspects of our job. The other day I got my copy of Emergency Medical News, and on the front page was a glimpse into an article that spanned several pages inside the journal. It was titled, Why I Quit Emergency Medicine, a Bonus Special Report. Actually, it was originally published under the title, Why Doctors Are Running Out of Empathy. And it was not a short article. In fact, it contained over 3,000 words, or 3,024 to be exact. It takes a bit of time to read the whole article. I continually shook my head to myself in agreement with the author's general opinion of what is happening to medicine, and physicians in particular, in this new modern age of healthcare, physicians, healthcare workers, pharmacies, pharmacists, hospitals, insurance companies, and all those others that are involved in the healthcare industry in the United States. But I was not ready to present the subject to you guys until just this morning when I read another article, this time even more recent. As a matter of fact, it was written in the last issue of Medscape, dated March 17th, 2019, less than a week ago. The title was, How Healthcare is Causing Moral Injury to Doctors.
This article was fairly long, about 1,300 words, not quite as hefty as the first article, but powerful nevertheless. So let me see if we can resume it in as few words as possible and still give you a good idea of what the problem both authors feel is hanging as a cloud over U.S. healthcare. Many of you probably already can guess the answer.
I'm going to start with Article 1, which starts out with a bang, as the author states right in the first paragraph what his opinion is. He states that he finds it hard to write the term healthcare system because it is simply an inaccurate representation of what it should be unless we take the word healthcare to mean the mishmash of hospitals, doctors, insurance companies, and vendors that profit from our physical and mental maladies. Then perhaps it would be more accurate to call it sickness billing. In his opinion, it is truly sickness rather than health that the industry focuses on, and billing rather than care, on which it spends the better portion of its time.
According to Dr. Mohseni, the author of the first article that we are reviewing, government food policies such as the subsidization of corn and the promotion of sugar and carbohydrate-rich foods as low-fat alternatives resulted in a massive increase in calorie-dense, nutrient-poor, and highly processed foods in our diet, such as corn syrup, other sugars, refined wheat, and others.
Along with that, there has been society's expectations of larger portion size. Just look at the advertisements of fast food establishments, each touting more food and less cost. These dietary changes have led to dramatic increases in obesity, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, as well as autoimmune disorder rates in the United States. So more disease, more symptoms, someone's got to pay. Here comes Medicare and the insurance companies. The costs of insurance to both the government and the private individuals, as well as employers, increased. So what's a government to do? Well, just what Medicare did. They created a growing number of obstacles to reimbursing doctors and hospitals, and all payers followed suit. Where's the real Slim Shady here?
Medicare created a game, and the doctors learned how to play it to the detriment of patients. Eventually, Medicare piled on even more barriers with the term core measures. Of course, Medicare couldn't call these things barriers to paying doctors and hospitals, so it spun the changes as a switch to value-based care. With little basis in the scientific literature, so most doctors saw the parameters for what they were, barriers to reimbursement.
With reimbursement going down due to Medicare's new rules and doctors becoming less productive because of electronic medical records, physicians' practices expected their doctors to work faster and leaner than ever before. Hospitals expected increasingly high patient satisfaction results. Patients and families expected perfection in care and no complications or unexpected events. Insurance companies expected perfectly documented charts or else no payment. And EMR vendors expected you to use their dreadful software and keep your mouth shut. Now let's pan to the second article. We'll be a little briefer here. The author starts off by saying that being a physician is not like any other job. Doctors witness suffering among people they've come to care for. Dr. Carol Bernstein stated that physicians talk about the corporatization of medicine with the imposition of all the guidelines and regulations which make doctors less able to deliver the care they want to deliver and which contributes to burnout and stress.
Bernstein went on to say that emotional injury to physicians can only stop when our current healthcare system changes, when there is noticeable difference in the unremitting pressure on physicians and the constant stumbling blocks that prevent them from delivering the kind of healthcare they feel will be best for patients.
Whoa. On a lighter side, how about we describe one more diet?
So hold that thought for just a second. This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 29 years. We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just two blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburg Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care. Let's start this half of the show by discussing just one more diet.
One that we missed on last week's show. I think that's good. Our daughter Susie suggested this one to present on the air. It's called the Mind Diet. I guess she thinks that we're getting old. After all, the Mind Diet is designed to prevent dementia and loss of brain function as you age. It combines the Mediterranean diet and the DASH diet to create a dietary pattern that focuses specifically on brain health. You know, everyone in the United States is acronym crazy. Both the words abbreviation and acronym are used to refer to a shortened form, but an acronym is a shortened form of a phrase and is usually made up of the initial letters of that phrase. For example, NATO, we've all heard that. That comes from North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And how about ASAP, ASAP? That comes from as soon as possible. Many diets use acronyms as their name, and the MIND diet, well, it's no exception. MIND stands for the Mediterranean DASH Intervention for Neurodegenerative Delay Diet.
MIND diet's goal is to reduce dementia and the decline in brain health that often occurs as people get older. As we said, it combines aspects of two very popular diets, the Mediterranean diet and the DASH diet, which is also an acronym that stands for Dietary Approaches to Stop Hypertension Diet. Both the Mediterranean and DASH diets are considered to be two of the healthiest diets available today.
Research has actually shown that they can lower blood pressure and reduce the risk of heart disease, diabetes, and several other medical problems. So some researchers decided to take both diets and combine foods from them. So to do this, they combined foods from the Mediterranean and DASH diets that had been shown to benefit brain health. For example, both the Mediterranean and DASH diets recommend eating a lot of fruit. Now, although all fruit are not being shown to improve brain function, eating berries has. Thus, the Mind Diet encourages its followers to eat berries, but it does not emphasize consuming fruit in general. The Mind Diet simply suggests that you eat more of the 10 particular foods. They also encourage you to eat less of the 5 foods that the diet specifically recommends you limit. So we are going to start with the 10 foods the Mind Diet encourages.
Let's start with green leafy vegetables. Aim for 6 or more servings per week. This includes kale, spinach, cooked greens, and salad. That's almost 1 serving daily of green leafy vegetables. You should also try to eat another vegetable in addition to the green leafy vegetables at least once a day. This should be a non-starch vegetable because they have a lot of nutrients with low number of calories.
So far, we have 2 vegetables a day, 1 green leafy vegetable, and then the second, any other vegetable. You should also eat berries at least twice a week. These include strawberries, blueberries, raspberries, and blackberries, and that's for their antioxidant benefits. The Mind Diet also suggests that you get at least 5 servings of nuts per week. I like to make it easy to remember, so eating 1 serving daily of nuts is to my liking. We also suggest that you vary the types so as to get a variety of nutrients. Much of the time, you may be using cooking oils, so we as well as the Mind Diet suggest you use olive oil.
How about whole grain? You will want to eat at least 3 servings daily. Choose whole grains like oatmeal, quinoa, brown rice, whole wheat pasta, and 100% whole wheat bread. Since I suggested that you can eat at least 3 meals a day, you can think of eating 3 servings of whole grain once per meal each day. Both oatmeal and quinoa are good for breakfast.
You still need more protein than you can probably get from the daily servings of nuts. So if you're not vegan or vegetarian, you can supplement the diet with fish at least once a week. The best ones to choose are the fatty fish like salmon, sardines, trout, tuna, and mackerel, as these will have higher amounts of omega-3 fatty acids. How about beans? I know about beans. Remember the poem Beans, Beans, Good for Your Heart? Well, yes, we remember that one. Well, anyway, include beans in at least 4 meals every week. This actually includes more than just the common beans. We also include lentils and soybeans.
Although fried chicken is not encouraged on the Mind Diet, eating chicken or turkey at least twice a week is good for all our non-vegetarian and vegan friends.
I know that a lot of you have heard of the benefits of some wines in the diet. However, for the Mind Diet, aim for no more than 1 glass daily. Both red and white wine may benefit the brain. However, much research has focused on the red wine compound called resveratrol, which may help protect against Alzheimer's disease. But if you don't wish to drink wine, then you can purchase the resveratrol in the pharmacy section of your favorite supermarket or health food store. I've seen a lot of people quit a diet simply because they could not follow it all of the time. But the more that you follow the Mind Diet, the better off you should be. When you're following the diet, you can eat more than just those 10 foods. However, the more that you stick to the diet, the better off your results will be in the long run. Well, now we come to those 5 foods to avoid in the Mind Diet. First on our list are butter and margarine. Neither is good for you, so try to eat less than 1 tablespoon daily.
So you may be questioning, what can you use the rest of the time to substitute for the butter and margarine? Well, how about one of the good food? I mean olive oil. Dip your food in instead of slathering on the butter and the margarine.
I know you're probably waiting to hear what we say about cheese.
Is it yes or is it no?
The Mind Diet recommends limiting your cheese consumption to less than once per week. This was probably one of the hardest things for me to do. I just love cheese.
The same goes for red meat. Aim for no more than 3 servings each week. This includes all beef, pork, lamb, and products made from these meats. Remember that this is the Mind Diet.
Myself, as a vegan, I do not eat those particular proteins at all. But you can make up your own mind. The one type of food that is really discouraged is the group of foods in the fried food category, especially the kind from fast food restaurants. Limit your consumption to less than once per week. Although pastries and sweets are generally limited to no more than 4 times a week, as a dessertaholic, I find that I would rather have a small portion of a dessert, like ice cream, cookies, brownies, snacks, snack cakes, donuts, or candies, once daily.
The reason for this is that they most often contain saturated fat and trans fat. Recently, Dr. Lasky and I purchased an air fryer and pressure cooker combination. We have had amazing success with the pressure cooker. Since we have been using pressure cookers for years, once we get to use the air fryer, we will report on how well that works for our healthy diet.
Remember that studies have found that trans fats are clearly associated with all sorts of diseases, including heart disease and even Alzheimer's disease. However, the health effects of saturated fats are still widely debated in the nutritional world.
However, animal research and observational studies in humans do suggest that consuming saturated fats in excess is associated with poor brain health. The MIND diet may decrease oxidative stress and inflammation.
The scientists who created the MIND diet think it may work by reducing oxidative stress and inflammation. Remember, the oxidative stress occurs when unstable molecules, which are called free radicals, accumulate in the body in large quantities, which often cause damage to cells. And the brain? Well, it's especially vulnerable to this type of damage. Inflammation is your body's natural response to injury and infection. However, if it's not properly regulated, inflammation can also be harmful and contribute to many chronic diseases. So together, oxidative stress and inflammation can be quite detrimental to the brain. Now, in recent years, they've been focusing on some interventions to prevent and treat Alzheimer's disease. Studies have shown that following the Mediterranean and DASH diets have been associated with lower levels of oxidative stress and inflammation. There are antioxidants in berries, and the vitamin E in olive oil, while the green leafy vegetables and nuts are thought to benefit brain function by protecting the brain from oxidative stress. Now, we did mention the omega-3 fatty acids found in fatty fish. These fatty acids are well known for their ability to lower inflammation in the brain and have actually been associated with slower loss of brain function. Vegans can get them, meaning the omega-3 fatty acids, in capsules and liquid supplements. Well, let's go on to one more reason to consider the MIND diet. It may actually help reduce harmful beta amyloid proteins.
Researchers also believe the MIND diet may benefit the brain by reducing potentially harmful beta amyloid proteins, which are protein fragments found naturally in the body. Unfortunately, these protein fragments create plaque that build up in the brain, disrupting communication between brain cells and eventually leading to brain cell death.
In fact, many scientists believe these plaques are one of the primary causes of Alzheimer's disease. Also, previous studies suggest that the antioxidants and vitamins that many MIND diet foods contain may help prevent the actual formation of the beta amyloid plaques in the actual brain. Additionally, the MIND diet limits foods that contain saturated fats and trans fats, which studies have shown can increase beta amyloid protein levels in mouse brains. Those who consume these fats have been shown to have a doubled risk of Alzheimer's disease.
Although the MIND diet has only been around for about 4 years, already one study of 923 older adults, people who followed the MIND diet the closest, had a 53% lower risk of Alzheimer's disease than people who followed it the least.
Even those who only moderately follow the MIND diet still seem to benefit from it and cut their risk of Alzheimer's disease by 35% on average. The second study found that people who followed the MIND diet the closest experienced a slower decline in brain function compared to people who follow the diet the least. Now, we're going to give you some samples of meals that adhere to the MIND diet. If you'd like a copy of this sample diet, please send us an email at livelonger@gmail.com. That's livelonger@gmail.com. Remember that we are going to center your meals around those 10 foods and the food groups that are encouraged on the diet, and we're going to try to stay away from the 5 foods that really need to be limited.
Let's start with Monday's breakfast, a Greek yogurt with raspberries, topped with sliced almonds, followed by a lunch of a Mediterranean salad with olive oil-based dressing, grilled chicken, whole wheat pita. We end the day with dinner made as a burrito bowl with brown rice, black beans, fajita vegetables, grilled chicken, salsa, and guacamole.
On Tuesday, breakfast will be wheat toast with almond butter and scrambled eggs. Lunch will consist of a grilled chicken sandwich, blackberries and carrots. And dinner, well, that will be a grilled salmon, side salad with olive olive oil-based dressing and brown rice. And Wednesday, the middle of the week, we have a steel-cut oatmeal with strawberries and hard-boiled eggs. Lunch is an ole affair. I mean, Mexican with a Mexican-style salad, mixed greens, black beans, red onions, corn, grilled chicken, and olive-based dressing. Ending it, well, that will be with a chicken and vegetable stir-fry brown rice.
Thursday's breakfast, almost like Monday with Greek yogurt. However, we add peanut butter and banana to it. Lunch will be baked trout, collard greens, and black-eyed peas. Our dinner will consist of whole wheat spaghetti with turkey, meatballs, and marinara sauce, as well as side salad with olive oil-based dressing.
Now, this was just a sample of the week's meals. To get a copy of the entire week, including those days that we've left out, again, send us an email at livelonger@gmail.com, and we will be glad to email you the copy of the entire menu. Remember, you can drink a glass of wine with each dinner to satisfy the mind diet recommendation. Nuts can also make a great snack. If you purchase a ready-made store-bought salad dressing, make sure that it contains only olive oil. And remember, you can make your own easily with olive oil at home. For example, make a simple balsamic vinaigrette by combining 3 parts extra virgin olive oil with 1 part balsamic vinegar. Just add a little Dijon mustard, salt, and pepper, and then just mix well.
So, what is the bottom line on the Mind Diet? It was created to help prevent dementia and slow the loss of brain function that can happen with age.
It encourages its followers to consume vegetables, berries, nuts, whole grains, olive oil, fish, beans, poultry, and wine. Of course, these foods contain many nutrients that promote good brain health, possibly by reducing oxidative stress, inflammation, and the formation of beta amyloid plaques.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone. Neath a halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share, and no one dared disturb the sound of silence. Fool, said I, you do not know, silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you, take my words that I might reach you. But my words, like silent raindrops, fell and echoed in the wells of silence. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and tenement halls, and whispered in the sound of silence. I'd like you, our listeners, to know that I am one of several physicians right here in the Jacksonville area that has received the certification to recommend medical marijuana to those patients with certain qualifying diagnoses. These now include amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, cancer, Crohn's disease, epilepsy, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, seizure disorders, chronic muscle spasms, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, PTSD, a terminal condition, as well as other ailments and conditions, including certain diseases with chronic or long-term pain. For more information, you can call our office at 641-4411. We've also set up a website for our Medical Marijuana Society at www.medmarsoc.com. That's www.medmarsoc.com. We have also set up a special website at CompassionateCareJax.com, where you can get a whole lot more information on medical marijuana. You can also set up an appointment for an office visit to Southside Medical Center right on the website. Again, that website is CompassionateCareJax.com. Well, we've come to the end of another Hey Doc show. Carmen and I hope that you've enjoyed the past half hour and have found it interesting, educational, and maybe just a little bit entertaining.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.